everybody again. Yes. Amen. Wow, what a difference from the last time we were here. Everything has changed in our nation, and not just in our nation, but around the world. Amen. It's a very unusual time that we're living in, isn't it? Amen. You know, the Bible says that perilous times will come. Mm-hmm. Why are they coming? Because men are lovers of themselves and not of God. Yeah, and these perilous times have come. But in the midst of all that, hallelujah, the Lord doesn't change, does he? He's still the same. Hallelujah. And just enjoyed being here this morning and just participating in worship, being in the house of God. I know that your house, the church here, was shut down for a while. Ours was. And about 2 weeks before we opened back up, I had a major meltdown. I said, Lord, I can't, no more. I can't take more, no more of this. I've got to get into your house and worship. Amen. Amen. And the first Sunday, the tears just flowed because we are back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's time to pray. It's time to pray. And so I was excited about the prayer meeting this morning, excited about hearing you're going to have prayer during the week. Yeah. Amen. Because it's time to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. No matter what comes, what goes, God is faithful. And as we pray and as we cry out to the Lord changes things. And we definitely need a major change in this nation. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you in the Lord. Don't be weary in well-doing. Hallelujah. Our prayer is part of that well-doing. Well, you know, not just to people around us, but in the things that God's called us to do. Don't get weary about being in God's presence, being in his word, prayer, seeking the face of the Lord. And I'm sure that this is in your heart, but this is in our heart, that before the election, we want to do in our home and in our church a time of doing some fasting. Amen. You know, when Daniel saw that it was time for the 70 years to be up, he didn't just shout and praise the Lord. He went down before the Lord in prayer and fasting. Amen. And we know it's a time for God to move. It's time for change. Amen. So prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says men are always to pray and not to faint. So we're not going to get weary. And we're not going to faint, hallelujah, but we're going to do like Daniel did when he saw that it was time for God to work. He went down before the Lord in prayer and fasting, hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says that there was a tremendous battle going on in the heavenlies. How many can feel that? I can feel that so clear, like there's this tremendous battle over our nation in the heavenlies. Amen. Amen. But as Daniel prayed, the Lord sent a mighty angel, hallelujah, amen, to do warfare in the heavenlies. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. That's what's going on. It's principalities and powers that wants to destroy this nation. And take this nation in a whole different direction. But as we pray, hallelujah, God's going to send help. You know, during the renewal, I'm next to the oldest in our family, but my oldest sister, during the renewal, she had a vision, and she saw all these angels in heaven, and they all were in army fatigue and battle boots on. Hallelujah. They were ready for warfare. And they all had parachutes on their back. And they were just waiting for the command. Hallelujah. And I feel like it's time, hallelujah, for those angels to be dispersed, hallelujah, to come down here and do some battle in the Holy Ghost. As we pray, then God releases his power. He releases his authority. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you, don't get weary. Don't be weary. This is not a time to be asleep. This is not a time to be weary. This is a time, hallelujah, to press into the Lord as never before.
Thank you.
Lord bless you.
Alive, brother.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm alive. Hallelujah. How many of you are alive this morning?
Amen.
You know, as my wife was talking about Daniel, I just don't think we know who we are.
That's right.
I don't think we do. We don't know. The Bible says in Revelation that we've been made kings and priests unto the Lord. Now, we've been operating as priests for a long time, you know, worshiping God, serving one another. But kings, that's a different story. Kings have authority, okay? And I think God is trying to wake up the church that we need to function as kings with authority. We know that God has all these angels. I understand all that. But if Daniel hadn't prayed, the angel wouldn't have been released. Understand? If he would have just said, well, you know, hey, and twiddled his thumbs, nothing would have happened. I remember there's a brother that was from Philadelphia. He'd been in the drugs and gangs, and he'd even killed somebody, I guess. But he became a Christian, and he was in a little prayer meeting one time, and all of a sudden he had a vision, and in the vision he was in Philadelphia on a street corner. And he knew where it was. I mean, he saw the street name and everything. He knew where he was. But he said the whole heaven was just absolutely black. And said, then off to the one side, he saw this huge figure. And that figure had a sword. And he watched this figure. And the guy took his sword, went like this. And when he did, the heaven opened a little bit. And then the angel took the sword, hit it again, and a little wider, and the third time it just... And then the angel spoke to him, because it was an angel. And he said, I'm your angel. When you work, I work. If you don't work, I don't work.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, I mean, we know God can do anything, but he's waiting for the church. Ezekiel said, I sought for a man. You got to read that chapter, because he sought among the prophets. He couldn't find anybody. He sought among the priests. He sought among the people. And he could not find anybody. He said, I was searching for just one person to stand in the gap before me so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I couldn't find anybody. I had to destroy the land. He's waiting for the church. Ephesians tells us that God, there's a mystery. It's hid. It's been hid for years, but now revealed through the prophets and the apostles, that God wants to make known to principalities and powers his manifold wisdom through the church. Now, he can do it without us, but for some reason or another, he didn't want to do that.
That's right.
He's waiting for somebody to stand up.
Right.
He's waiting for somebody that'll stand in the gap, make up the hedge before him. You know, sometimes he's waiting for somebody to stand in the gap, make up the hedge for the family, for the kids. You know what I mean? He said, well, you know, Billy, you know, I just said, you know how he is. Hey, wait a minute. Is that going to be attitude of your son? He's Billy, well, you know, he's going. No, I'm going to pray.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm going to sick some angels onto that guy. you know what I mean? Come on now.
Amen.
Do we know who we are? We can release angels. Listen, here's Moses. It's amazing. Psalms 106. God was so upset with Israel, he said, listen, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. I am sick and tired of this. But the Bible said Moses stood in the gap. And the Bible says Moses, one person, stood in the gap and turned the wrath of God away. I don't think we know who we are. Yeah? How about this one? This is really amazing. In the book of Acts, there was a guy, he wasn't even saved. He was a Cornelius was his name, and I think he was an Italian of the Italian band. He wasn't even a Christian. But his prayer released an angel. He's not even a Christian. He's not even a believer. But his prayer released an angel to go speak to Peter. You know the story. I mean, if that's the case, then how much more are our prayers releasing angels? Right now, we need an angel in the Senate. We need an angel in the House of Representatives. We need an angel watching over this president. You understand what I'm saying? But God's waiting for somebody, and that's us. And really, it does. What I like about it, it really doesn't make a difference who we are. You say, well, I'm just one person. Well, that's all he's looking for. He said, all I want is one person. You say, well, I'm just one. Well, that's it. You qualify. But God's looking for you. Okay. Hallelujah. Me alone, yeah. He said, all I need is just one person. And now, then I can do what I want to do. I don't want to destroy people. I want to save people. He said, I'm just looking for anybody. So I don't care if you're a kid. I don't care if you're... You know, I think about sometimes you have to be mature and, you know, do you realize that Israel was in a situation one time and they were going to be wiped out? And guess what? God picked a boy, a little guy called David. And he went out and faced the giant. I mean, this huge giant, you know. But the Bible says when he did that, all of Israel was saved. Can we understand? It's not how big we are, how educated we are, how much we know them. No. He's just looking for somebody that'll be a vessel. Be a mouthpiece for him. That's all. Amen. I mean, and so I'm thinking about one particular verse. I woke up and it came to me. But in Acts chapter 2, let me just lay a foundation first. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that they were all in one accord on the day of Pentecost. And you know the story. Cloven tires, tongues of fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. I said, that's interesting. They spoke in tongues. Well, it's probably because they were going to go on to all the world. And, you know, they had all different languages, so they had to know all them. I said, well, that sounds pretty good. But so then in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, you know, the angel said, Peter, I want you to go. There's some folks that need to hear the gospel. They're Gentiles. Now, he didn't want to go at first. He said, wait a minute, they're not Jews. You know, I don't mess with anybody. And the Lord said, listen, if I've cleansed them, don't you? Then you know the story. He goes, and the Bible says, while he's yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on all those that heard the word. Why? Because he heard them speak in tongues, all 12 of them, and magnify God. Of course, then in the 19th chapter, I just want to lay a foundation here. But why did they speak in tongues? Why in the world did they speak in tongues in the New Testament church? Why are some people still speaking in tongues today? So in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, I mean, Paul is going through and he comes to Ephesus and he finds certain disciples and he asks them this question. Now, they're believers, right? But he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, what do you mean the Holy Ghost? We're believers. But we don't even know where there isn't such thing as hope. What are you talking about? And the Bible said he explained to them about Jesus. They got baptized, laid hands on them. They began to speak with other tongues. All of them. All of them. Why in the world did they speak with other tongues? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is probably the best. Chapter 14 and verse 2, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. It's not for mission work. No, it's not for mission work. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. But in the Spirit, he's speaking secret things. Mysteries, secret things. A divine communication with God. And everybody can do that. See, that's why on the day of Pentecost, they all, 10th chapter, all, 19th chapter, all. Why? Because it was something very special. Amen? So speaking in tongues, Paul says, first of all, I'm not speaking to men, but unto God. Now, verse 4 is very interesting. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, builds himself up. Now, what does that mean? Do my muscles grow? I mean, what does it mean? I feel good? No, no, no. What happens is, am I speaking in with other tongues, my spiritual man, my spiritual ears are being opened more to hear God's voice. My spiritual eyes are beginning to see it clear. My heart is being filled with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. And I need that so I can minister to other people. I need it so I can let it flow to other people. See what I'm saying? But the 14th verse of the 14th chapter is very good. Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit within me, prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. Think about it. He says, when I'm praying in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit helping me, but my mind isn't functioning real good. My mind is not picking up on it, and that bothers me. And so this is why one of the most, I'm going to say, the weapons of our warfare are mighty, you know the scripture. Well, this is one of the most powerful weapons that we can possibly function, and that's praying in tongues. We're releasing God to do everything he wants to do, but at the same time, we're actually praying reversals to the enemy's plan. So when Paul said, the Spirit maketh intercession for us, because we don't know what to pray for that, but the Holy Spirit makes his intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He's interceding for the saints, the Bible says. According to the will of God. I mean, how are you going to get more spiritually prayer than the Holy Spirit help? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I just know. Because, and so, it says, the Holy Spirit has come to help our infirmities. The word infirmities is very interesting there. It means weaknesses, cripplings, and limitations. I have areas of my life, I'm weak, I'm crippled, but my limitation, this reaches out into the realm of the Holy Spirit and the spirit world. I have no idea what the enemy's planning for America, but the Holy Spirit knows. I don't know what's planned against me, my marriage, my family, the church that I pastor, or the name. But the Holy Spirit knows, and he listened. And Paul said, so listen, this is the miracle. God has given you the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues so you can pray in tongues. And when you do, all of a sudden, God shows up. He shows up not just in your life, not in your just in your marriage, your friend, but how about the nation? Right now, God is calling the people of God to war. This is not a light thing. I don't know what we think. When Daniel got through praying, the angel came and said, you know, I came the moment you start praying. The moment. But the prince of Persia withstood me. If you read anything about history, it was the Persian Empire. There was a prince. And that prince withstood this angel for 21 days. And then when he got through talking to Daniel, he says, I've got to go back because the prince of Greece has come. There's a prince that wants to take over America. This is not just an ordinary election here at all. They want to leave the foundation that our founding fathers laid when they were committed to God. The Constitution was built on the Bible. You got to read. You know, don't read the history today because it's perverted. But if you want real history, go back to the Library of Congress and read the actual writings of our founding fathers. is based on the Bible. Colleges were run by preachers. Harvard, Yale, I mean, there. You see what I'm saying? And so right now, the whole concept is getting away from the God of the Bible. You understand? But how can we, as individuals, just individuals, how can we make a difference? I don't know about you, but I mean, could you believe that you, honey, you can make a difference in America? In America. Moses, one man, stood in the gap and turned the wrath of God away from the nation. We have no idea who we are. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God, kings and priests, if you please. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so as I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, me, individually, me, not because I have an education, not because of my talent, no, it's because of the Holy Ghost that's been given to anybody that will receive. Children could change. David, 16, 17 years, changed the course of the whole nation. Now that's under the old covenant. Moses was under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant, where the Bible says better promises with a greater high priest. I mean, you know, come on. We don't know. See, I think the Lord's been waiting, you know. I really appreciate all the praise and worship. That's really good. But, you know, I got something else in mind. I'd like to make known to principalities and powers my manifold wisdom through the church. I'd like them to do more than just send church and pray and praise. I'd like them to stand up and conquer. I'd like them to take possession of this land. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. America belongs to Jesus. That's what it's all about. But if we just sit here and twiddle our hump, the next thing you know, look what happened to China. Look what happened to Russia. Germany. When the church goes to sleep, cast away the mice play. So when the church goes to sleep, the demons just go crazy. But when we stand up and say, hold it, whoa, I'm a king around here. Devil, you're not messing with my marriage. You're not messing with my kids. You're not messing with my city. You're not messing with America. Can you hear me now? Mm-hmm. Where, the Bible says where the word of a king is, there's power. So I'm a king. Mm-hmm. You're a king. Queen, whatever you want to say. But you have power. The power of life and death is in your tongue. So when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm releasing power. God's power. Releasing him to do everything and anything he wants to do. It's time for the church to wake up. You live up here and, you know, I'm thinking in the middle. This is nowhere, isn't it?
It's about close. Take a left after.
That's right. Because I was raised in a place like that. It's called Cottersport. Nobody knows where Cottersport is. But anyway, you know, hey, it's all right. It's all right. It doesn't make any difference where you are, who you are. If you're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues, then you've got power. You can declare. So I, on a regular basis, daily, I'm praying for the president, the righteous that are in the media, righteous are in the Senate, House of Representatives, the righteous are in the judiciary branch. Wherever God's people are, I'm praying every day for them. Listen, this is gonna be good. Joel. Oh, I'm sorry, Jude. Okay, Jude. There's only one chapter just before Revelation, this book of Jude. And listen to this. But can you put that on the overhead? You probably can't. No. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's a great idea, Jude. Good. Yeah, you do have some technology up here. Okay, good. But Jude, chapter, verse 20, because there's no chapter, just chapter. Verse 20. Let's put it on. Okay, watch. Very interesting. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, for a long time, I thought, well, when I pray in tongues, I'm building up myself. That's good. But that word you in the Greek is plural. It's plural. Jude is simply saying, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're building up the whole church. You know, we got to get our minds off this idea that's about me. Me, myself, and I, me. Could we get an idea that, listen, we serve a God that rules the earth. And he's asking us to do it with him. He could do it without us, but he could use angels, but he doesn't. So I'm looking for some people to stand in the gap, make up the hedge before me for the Lent. And I want to find somebody. I want to be one of those people. How about you? You say, Brother Wayne, I haven't been a Christian before. So what? Saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, that's all you need. Just go ahead and start praying in tongues. Let the Holy Ghost move. And if you've got a mouth, remember, remember, the Bible said the word of a king is with power. So sometimes I get it and I say, well, I want to thank you. Hallelujah. You know, I hear the news. It's horrible. I mean, it's very depressing. But then I read the good news. Lord, you own you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't. He does have a place, and it's real hot. But other than that, the earth is the Lord's. The earth doesn't belong to the devil in his crowd. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. You are Lord. Amen. I decree your lordship over America, every state, every city. Devil, hallelujah. You can't have America. Belongs to God. And because we're his people, us too. So that's part of our possession. Is this all right?
Yeah.
Now, you have to have faith to understand what I'm saying. You go, you got to be kidding. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. God's called us to alter the course of this nation. And we all need to stand up and be counted. Calling us. Alter the course of this thing. We're just not going to sit by and let the devil take us to hell. Not going to let the devil take us to this chaos and confusion we see in Russia or China or what we saw under Hitler. No. What? See, but if we just sit there and twiddle our thumbs, can't wait for Jesus to come and someday. I think it's time to wake up. Let's be the people of God that he expected us to be. He is a man of war. Read it. Read it. He said, I am a man of war. The Lord is my name. I mean, he's into this warfare stuff. Endure hardness is a good soldier. Paul said that. We're not on a picnic here. We got a lot of work to do. When God calls us and go to heaven, we can sit there on the cloud with that part. That's good. Right now, we got work to do. And listen, when we pray, all of us, things begin to happen.
That's right.
Yeah. And this is what the Bible said, all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans. I like one translation. All of creation is standing on tiptoes, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Not the Son. Sons. Sons. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I just want to do my part. As long as I'm here, I want to do my part.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Let's see the let's believe God. Let's begin to really pray. Cry out to God. Let's make a difference in life. Amen?
You, so,
most of the church is so caught up with themselves. I was telling the pastor, I said, I saw something I never saw before. The first commandment. What is it? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I used to think, oh boy, commandment. Wait a minute. That commandment, when we begin to walk in that commandment, we begin a deliverance from this selfish slavery to self. My problem is not, I don't know. I used to think my problem was my wife. First 14 years, Richard, I don't know. I thought, Lord, if you can just help her. I mean, we could really, really. But after a while, the Lord says, hey, you're the problem. The more we love ourselves, the more complicated life becomes. Right now, mental hospitals, many, many in the mental hospitals are filled because they love themselves. You see, if I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, strength, then I'm going to trade my murmuring, complaining for thanksgiving. I'm going to trade my hurts, my wounds, my injuries. I'm going to trade it for faith and forgiveness. Can we just make a trade here? I mean, we can spend a lot of time just feeling sorry for yourself. You know, that's a pleasant mental exercise. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I really like it, you know. Oh, you know how bad, you know, it's really bad. But, you know, I try to get that from my wife. She'll say, hey, we grow up. Help us, Lord. I was hoping for just a little encouragement here, you know. Do we understand? God gives us commandments because he wants to get us out of problems. He wants to deliver us, Paul said, from this slavery to this deadly lower nature. Paul fought it. Paul fought this thing. Romans chapter 8, read it. It's really good. Chapter 7, chapter, it's amazing. He said, listen, I'm a Christian, I know that, but I have a struggle. And the struggle is not so much with the devil. The struggle is with me. There's things I want to do, I don't do, things I don't want to do, I don't. Who's going to deliver me from this slavery to this deadly lower nature? Thank God. It has been done through Jesus Christ. And then the chapter 8, he tells you exactly. He said, I stopped following myself and I follow the Lord. I stopped thinking about me and I begin to think about Jesus. And when I do that, all of a sudden, I think about others. Mm-hmm. See, I'm really concentrating on the Lord. Next thing you know, I love my neighbors myself. That's why the two greatest commandments, really the only commandments, love the Lord your God and love your neighbors yourself. Mm-hmm. But my struggle is, Lord, what about me? I deserve. But I have some room. I don't know. I've been a preacher too long, done too much counseling, and you know, people could really, really save themselves a lot of heartache. Start loving the Lord. If your mind's on Him, it's not on you. No. Right now, the mental hospitals are so filled. Even hospitals themselves. A preacher met a doctor in the hall of a hospital one time, and the doctor said, hey, preacher, 80% of the people in this hospital need you more than me. Because the way you think affects your physical and emotions. You can say what you want, but I mean, the more you think about yourself, the worse it gets. Come on now. The more you feel sorry for yourself, the worse it gets. It doesn't get better. So I don't know, but my major problem is not with the devil. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. And in Jesus' name, I have authority over it. But me. That's my problem. Isn't that good? You didn't know you were the problem, did you? We thought for sure somebody else. I've had it tough, you know what I mean? You know, I've really had. Well, I'm just glad to be a Christian. Glad to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that God gave me this heavenly language of praying and worshiping in tongues. Amen. See, right now, I know right now that you don't feel like you have much of a congregation. Doesn't mean nothing. All you need is one person. And then you've got two. And if any two will agree in touching it, it shall be done. One puts 1,000, two 10,000. You're in pretty good shape here. If two puts 10,000, I mean, you know, and then you start multiplying that, you can send a bunch of devils. Back where they came from. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me now? What do you think, Mom?
I agree.
Well, you've got 1, 2, 3, right? Let's go. Oh. Well, it's... Can we take advantage and believe God?
Yeah.
Stop looking at life with our own puny mind and reasoning. Yeah. Let's begin to believe the Bible. Come on. God is waking up the church. Waking up the church. We're going to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Could I just, one last thing. I've been saying this pretty regular here. But if you read the account of the early church, Acts chapter 2, you're going to find out one thing. The Christian experience in the early church was daily. Daily. Mm-hmm. Not weekly. Bi-weekly, no, daily. They were daily in prayer, daily in praise, daily, daily. And I don't know why some Christians feel that, you know, there's so many things in life. I have a grandson that became a doctor, okay? And you know something? He would sometimes study up to 16 hours a day. 16 hours a day to be a doctor. What? 16 hours a day. You know, there are people right now that when they go to college, even if they're working, you have to work pretty regular if you want to be successful. But when it comes to the church, I don't know. Show up Sunday morning, maybe once during the middle of the week, and we're fine. What are we talking about here? Can't we just take the principles we use regularly in life and put it in the church? Let's do daily. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. And we're going to serve others with joyfulness and gladness of heart. Amen? Can we serve? Can we serve? I practice, 56 years I've been practicing, serving. She says I'm doing better. not much graduation today, but she says I'm doing better. Thank you. Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, you got a great pastor. Make sure you stand behind him, okay? One of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to get, if he can penetrate your mind, if he can penetrate your mind, you're starting on a problem. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The only thing the devil can do is get you thinking different. Once he can get you thinking different, then he can begin to work. As a man thinketh, when I look to the word thinketh, it means to split, to act as a doorkeeper, to open. Your mind is where things start. Now, if you can stop it here, it won't get here. But so he, and I don't know about you, but that's been a struggle in my life. You know, a thought comes. Hey, you better deal with it right away. Deal with it right away. If you don't deal with it right away, he's going to keep watering that thing. How is it that people, here's a good friend. We have a good friend. And all of a sudden, after a while, the friendship is just about gone. What happened? Well, thought. Marriages break up, starting here. I mean, just questioning, wondering. And, you know, you can't go there. You just can't go there. You have to stop here. As a man thinketh in his heart. So, I'm going to think the way Bob says. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm a son of the Most High God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you understand what I'm saying? I can love my wife when she's not lovable. And she can love me when I'm not lovable. Really? Sure. The Bible says the Holy Ghost has shed the love of God abroad in my heart by the... That's where I got in it. It's by the Holy Ghost. It's given to me. So love just determines whether I want to or not. Has nothing to do with how I feel. Amen? You know, and you know, it's not been easy for her to... You know, it hasn't been 100% easy, you know what I'm saying? To live with me. But she's made up her mind. She's going to tap in to the love of God that's been shed abroad in her heart by the Holy Ghost. And she's going to make up her mind. She's going to do what's right. She's going to think loving thoughts, speak loving words, and do loving deeds. And it activates what's already there. But if you start thinking doubts, comparisons, doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's enough power in here. After today, brother, watch out. Watch out, devil! Across America. You might laugh at this, but I'm convinced. He said, I'm just looking for one. To change the course of America, I'm just looking for one. But there's more than one here this morning. And so it's not going to go the way the enemy wants it to go. This nation is going to glorify God, going to be able to keep sending missionaries around the world, building hospitals around the world. Amen? So we're just not ready to give up this country to the devil and his crowd. Amen? Amen? Mm-hmm. Well, are you a Republican or Democrat? I'm a Christian.
Amen.
I'm a Christian. That's all I know. I'm a Christian. And I have the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got the command of the Lord. Take authority. Well, how are you folks doing? Doing pretty good? Are the kids doing pretty good now? Okay. Boy, you kids have got hurt, Buffalo. But that's all right. We're not going to let her, we're not going to tell her any different. Let her go. We'll let her think what she wants. Amen. How you doing, hon? Watch out. Devil's getting nervous when you walk out of the house here. He said, oh no, oh no, there goes one of those Christians. I've got problems again today. You can be praying in the Holy Ghost. I got problems. I don't know about you, but I like to think like that. Mm-hmm. Rather than think he's waiting for us to come out that door. And I'm thinking, no, he's going, oh my God, here they come, here they come. You don't mind if we think? Could we think our way or change our way of thinking just a bit? Be transformed. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we want to thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing in America. Thank you for what you're doing around the world. The day's coming when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's what you said. You're going to inherit the nations. That's what you said, Lord, in Psalms. We want to thank you. Hallelujah. Just as you said, just as surely as I live, saith the Lord, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. We're going to stand with you. We're going to stand with what you said. And we're going to be, regardless of what the devil says and what the whole news, it doesn't make any difference. We're going to stand with your word. And as faith, we will overcome. Bless this house, Lord. I thank you for the power, your presence in this house, their effectiveness as they pray. It's going to alter the course of this nation in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give your pastor a hand as he comes, please. Good, thank you. I don't think I got hurt in these notes, but it's all right.
You have to take the notes to make it look like you're...
Right, yeah, I get it, I get it. Sometimes we have notes and then God says something else. It's okay. It's not about the notes. It's about what God wants to speak into each and every life. So how many have some work to do?
Yes.
But how many are encouraged? Amen? Hallelujah. We are a lot more than we think we are. Hallelujah. I needed that. I needed that. That was the word of the Lord. You have no idea. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You are mighty. You are amazing. Hallelujah. You are wonderful, awesome. There's nothing like you, nothing more powerful than you. And Lord God, we know that there's a plan and a purpose. And Lord God, we pray right now. Hallelujah, Lord God, that we would be better equipped. Hallelujah, Lord God. We pray right now, Lord God, that we would get into this kingdom mindset of warfare. Hallelujah, that we would wake up each and every day, Lord God, and call upon you. Hallelujah, and call upon your power. Hallelujah, and walk in authority, not timid like sheep. Yes. Hallelujah, but Lord God, that you would make us strong. Hallelujah. Yes. Men and women of warfare. Hallelujah. And we would strap on the armor, and we would pick up your word, and we would go forth with that shield of faith, not letting anything stop us. Hallelujah. But speaking life. Hallelujah. Speaking power and speaking your will into existence. Hallelujah. Even as we go from here, Lord God, we pray your angels round about us. Hallelujah. Not just for us. Hallelujah. To protect us and to guide us, Lord God, but also, Lord God, to touch the sphere around us, Lord God. Hallelujah. To go forth and do battle and to break the strongholds even before we get there, and then to have the Spirit speak into each and every situation. Hallelujah, Lord God. I pray you would help us. Help us to stand in faith. Hallelujah. Help us to grow it, that we would not be shy or timid, but give us the boldness to speak your word. In Jesus' mighty name, and even as we go from here, we pray for traveling mercies around each and every vehicle. And we pray, Lord God, that you would give us a hunger and a thirst to cry out and to dig in, Lord God, to see what you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless.